Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning. 251-343-0106. That's the text line. Coming up in about an hour, former State Senator Rusty Glover will be with us, so you will stick around for that. But joining us now on the line, friend of the program, always a pleasure to bring on Trip Pittman. Would be, if I had lived here, that would be my former state senator, but I didn't. But it's nonetheless still a pleasure to have him on. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Doing great, Jeff. Good morning to you and your listeners.
Thanks for making time for us. I don't know that we've talked since the end of the session, but then it was a special session. And just kind of your thoughts in general. The Alabama legislature just kind of does what the Alabama legislature does. Nothing too overwhelming or nothing, but, sometimes very underwhelming, I would say.
Well, the governor proposes and the legislature disposes. You've got to pass the budgets. I disagree with the axiom that it's harder to do a budget when you have too much money than when you don't have enough. I did it when we didn't have enough, and there's a lot of pain that goes with those kinds of tough decisions, but it certainly creates a lot of interest when you have money. I think the job was, I'd give them a good grade because they did pass the budgets. They did put some money back for, trying not to, well, they're aware of the future and the uncertainty in the economy and how the revenues can be variable. I would have liked to have seen greater reductions in taxes. I mean, the only way to limit governments, limit the amount of money they have, and some of the things we did when I was in office, me and my colleagues, because politics is a team sport, we're trying to generate some more revenue so we could pay our bills. And now that we have some surpluses, I would have liked to have seen them, move faster and more aggressively on the grocery tax reduction. But at least, they made a start.
Well, what do you think of this notion? They're not looking at ways to reduce the size of government and give. I mean, the grocery tax is giving money back is important, but like the emphasis now, and this is aside from the social conservatism, the redefining of conservatism is just being fiscally responsible, not having proration, not having any of that. And the budgets are growing, government is growing, but as long as we don't overspend, we'll be fine. And maybe that's kind of a half-truth, but it seems like you want to try to curb that growth of government at some point, but we're not quite there yet.
Well, you have the supposition that, by some of the things we did to avoid the scourge of proration, which used to be a fairly common event, now the proration at least kept everyone on their toes, and there was some uncertainty out there and may force them to maybe manage or do some things they didn't want to do. And I think that's valid. We were so focused on being able to, in the time when money was not, there was not an excess of money, was what we were looking at. We just come off of the funding after the Great Recession, where we had $750 million for 2 years from, from the federal government to cobble together the budgets. And so we had to make a lot of changes. But, the lack of the threat of proration gives everybody the ability to just increase spending. And I know there are efforts within the legislature and committees trying to look at how to manage it. But certainly the best way is to leave the money in the hands of the taxpayers. It's their money, that don't send it to the government. And that would then have the government needing to do a better job of allocating, fewer dollars.
Well, I mean, these budgets keep growing, and there's a teacher pay raise or something every year. I don't know. It's just it's like I said, the fiscal responsibility is there, but that it doesn't seem, the voters in this state gave the Republicans super majorities in both chambers. And, sometimes we think that means, well, it should be really, really conservative, but maybe that just means maybe that it's not, that doesn't mean anything ideologically, that it's not a policy thing. It's just a kind of a team sport at times.
Well, the team, people forget about the advocates. I mean, people, Montgomery, politics is the process of dividing up other people's money. And in order to divide it, it has to be there. So if you give the money back to the people, there's less to divide. And the reality, unfortunately, another, the unintended consequence of the rolling reserve and avoiding a proration has led to, you know, larger and larger budgets. The campaign finance reform and the way it's been implemented has, you know, the pack to pack is good. But the way what we've done is we've just empowered the different powerful groups to give large sums of money to candidates. And so they have a big seat in influencing what people do or don't do. And they want to keep that money coming in to Montgomery so they can afford, you know, you see the revenue on the front side. What you don't see are all the tax credits and exemptions that go out on the backside. So part of that is to make sure there's plenty of money to go around from to the different political groups. I call them oligarchs. You know, they want to be able to spend your money. They don't want you to keep it, because if you keep it, you get to decide how to spend it.
I'm joined by Florida State Senator Trip Pittman here on the program. Senator, I was just talking to, you know, these discussions about, like, really what is really going on in Alabama in this state. And right now we're in this weird place in Alabama, and maybe it's always been this way, and I'm just now waking up to it, where it's, you have a system dominated by the big mules, and everything else is kind of just left up to the bureaucracy. That in some ways, I mean, the legislature passes budgets and laws, but they're not as big of a player as maybe we think they are. And then certainly the executive branch with the governor. I mean, this governor, say what you want to her, she's avoided any big scandals that would make you think she was a threat to be removed from office or anything like that. But not entirely sure she's like the governor's office is really running the show here either. But do you ever, when you look at the big picture in Alabama, do you get the sense that, you know, especially with low voter participation and Republican Party primaries in this state, especially at that state level, that maybe we're not really that it's allowed some, maybe I wouldn't say nefarious, but so maybe not with the best of intention, some forces to run this state the way it has been run the last few years.
Well, you make a point. The legislature, you know, they legislate, they pass laws. And when you pass laws at the state or federal level, and the feds are, you know, are driving a lot of what happens in the state by these rules that get promulgated and all of the attachments, the strings that are attached to the money that comes in from the feds, but also the bureaucracies get larger and larger. Now they have, they have people, the phones get answered by, you know, automated systems, and it's very hard to get in touch with a real person. And the workloads actually, through different mechanisms, get put back on the citizens to do the work. The people are still there, maybe even more people. But yes, the system is definitely got some cracks, and the service aspect of it needs to be greatly enhanced. We don't look at the complications that we put on citizens or businesses or others when we pass, you know, we pass legislation a lot of times with good intent, but then again, we don't actually formulate the implementation. And so that's, you know, sometimes you pass a bill and it would get manipulated, and what you intended, the legislative intent, is not always what ends up happening when those rules get passed by the bureaucrats with the advocates. Those people that are in Montgomery, they don't just work for the, you know, the 105 days or the 30 days of session and over 105. I mean, they're all year round making sure that these laws get implemented that's beneficial potentially to their clients, that there's, you know, more to do, or that the intent actually can be thwarted or lessened. But the bureaucracy is like the blob, and it's gotten way too big. And the people's interaction with their government is too much government. There's too many rules, regulations, and there's a lot of money coming in, not only from taxes, but through fees and licenses and tags. And all that burdens our citizens. And the people that are out there issuing them, a lot of good people. But they've got their own private lives with all their other hassles that they're dealing with. But, you know, the people out there that are working and paying the bills need better service from the people in government.
On a day-to-day basis,
not just on the, you know, the taxes, but on the actual interactions day-to-day between the public and their government. It's out of control.
Senator, I want to hit on, we'll get into maybe some specifics here. And The Rebuild Alabama Act, and I don't know if you keep it up with it, but the way the governor, I mean, it seems like to me a giant wealth redistribution plan to take from the wealthier parts of the state and spread the money around. And that's sort of my take. It wasn't anything big and bold. It was just turn lanes in like Limestone County or a traffic signal in Coleman County or wherever. And they just kind of give everybody, the counties and the municipalities, let them wet their beak a little. But the governor is going to, looks like, try to leverage the next either 15, 20 years of gas tax revenue to build this four-lane highway in the Black Belt. I mean, just in general, you can talk about that if you want, but generally speaking, this whole Rebuild Alabama thing is maybe not what we were expecting it to be.
Well, I remember when I was a senator, you know, 1 cent of tax in Baldwin County would generate, you know, a couple of $1 million. And for 2 or 3 cents, we'd get more than we're getting out of Rebuild Alabama. Of course, nobody wants to pay taxes, which we're now paying more of. But yeah, this Weather Education Trust Fund, the foundation program, is all about redistributing from, you know, 10 or 12 systems to the rest of the state. I mean, that's how our taxation system works. You have to make money and be successful to pay taxes. And then once that money gets into the, you know, bowels of Montgomery or Washington, D.C., then it gets spread out among a bunch of other people in order to get the budgets passed. But, yeah, the governor has prerogatives. I mean, she's run for office. She's from the Black Belt. I think she is a legacy. She's the one that drove and passed, you know, the Rebuild Alabama. And so she'd like a road that benefits her neck of the woods and has a legacy for her. Should it be the highest priority of the state, whether it's redistricting or whatever? You don't end up with perfect plans because you can't take the politics out of politics. And that's what she wants. And that seems like that's what she's getting. And, you know, should the money go other places for better benefit to more people? I think that's yes, that's the fact. But, you know, that's what she wants to do. And by God, she's doing it.
Well, yeah, I guess, and you know, the law that passed gives her the authority to do this. I don't think the people that voted for it in 2019 anticipated it to be used in such a way that it would go to something like this.
Well, again, correct. And you know, if you look at the laws, you know, we talk about all the earmarks in Alabama. Well, a lot of those earmarks are there because legislators, when people pass taxes, they didn't trust the people to allocate it where the money was going, and so it's earmarked for specific purposes so that it can't be diverted. Well, that's the reason for all the earmarks. Maybe there should have been some more earmarking, but, you know, the governor wants that latitude to, you know, politically and also to have the power. That's one of the few powers the governor has, is, you know, using roads and bridges and where they're proposed and built to influence you know, legislatures and what happens in the legislature.
Well, and you're right. It's the way it's being used. But and I know we don't operate in a vacuum, and you can't take the politics out of politics. But you know, you watch what Bentley did with Holtzclaw. You see some of this. Your successor, the A-Trip 2 thing, and you wonder maybe that's not the best way to serve your constituents, by using your transportation policy as political leverage.
Of course not in the real world, but you know, you get frustrated. Yeah, I was a budget chairman, appropriations chairman, you know, and you need to influence people and get into their heart. In politics, you can have a hell of a persuasion, a hell of an argument, a hell of a philosophy, but nothing like allocations or appropriations and money to get somebody's vote, or to get their heart in the right place or their mind in the right place. It's just the reality of what it is. Again, politics is the process of dividing up the money and then using money for the leverage in order to, it's not like the civics books. You know, I've raised with the Constitution and Declaration of Independence, Bill of Rights. You think you're going up into this philosophical, you know, place where people sit around and debate the issues. There are those conversations over dinners or cocktails sometimes or a cup of coffee, but the reality of it is it's brass tacks and brass knuckles and bare knuckles when it gets down to where the money goes.
Last question would get you out of here on this. And I'm curious, you keep up with Alabama Republican Party politics. I know you once were on the executive committee, but what do you make of the trend here to go more aggressive against the AEA and their influence on Republicans?
Philosophically, I don't like it, because I think a big tent is the best way to offer, you know, options and opportunities for more people to participate, hopefully, ideally, and, you know, philosophically. But again, it comes down to the AEA. You know, that was the common enemy after we took over the legislature, and we were able to pass, you know, tenure reform and rolling reserves that limited the yearly appropriations at that time, and a lot of things against the wishes of the AEA, a lot of the tax credits and incentives that were passed. But now they're back in, you know, they've always been in the game. They tried to use me one time to come around to run against Del Marsh or something, you know, or to run for this position or that. They were always trying to influence and find the links. And education is very critical, important to our system and our individual value. And I think I am for school choice, but they're certainly totally opposed to it. And so they're using that power, and the best way to have that power and influence people is to give them money for their campaigns. And they have a lot of money from their payroll deductions. I do think that, while philosophically I'm against it, the reality of that I've been talking to the whole program, you got to use the influence that you have. And certainly people on school boards and superintendents that get elected, you would hope that you take that money away from AEA and it removes the influence they would have on those people so they can make the best decisions that for the children.
Senator, you've been very gracious with your time. We do appreciate it. We got to get out of here, but don't be a stranger. Let's get you on again soon.
Well, and it's great to hear Tim Nelson's doing better, and looks like he's on the road to recovery. Everybody, take care. Have a wonderful Thursday and rest of the week, and thanks for having me on, Jeff.
Thanks for coming on. Former State Senator Tripp Pittman there. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Borris Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Now, if your leather jacket means to you what this hat means to me, then I get...